I'm DeWitt Sumners. I'm a mathematician at Florida State University, and I study sort of knot theory and topology and applications in molecular biology.
So how does that combination go together? Topology, that strikes me, that's pure mathematics, isn't it? And then you have the applied stuff inside the chromosomes, in fact. So how does it all marry together?
Well, DNA is a long and very thread-like molecule, and inside the cell it can become entangled. And this entanglement can be in the form of knots, like the knots you tie in your shoelace. And it's possible for us to study enzymes that make knots in the cell and other enzymes that destroy them, that fix that problem if the cell were to happen to generate some, which it does from time to time. So these knots are often diagnostic of molecular processes, and you can harness them as reporters in experiments. So I got into it. I was born a pure mathematician. So for the first half of my academic career, I did knot theory, pure as the driven snow. But then I saw some pictures of DNA knots coming from the Cozzarelli lab at the University of California at Berkeley. And I got a grant and I went out and talked to Nick and got very interested, because what he had pictures of was the stuff I had only seen in textbooks and drawn myself. So here's Mother Nature drawing the things that I was working on. So I was very fortunate where my theoretical work sort of dovetailed with something that was actually practical.
And how common are knots in nature whenever you've got a long strand?
Well, they're very common. In fact, there's a theorem that I was one of the authors of that says that if you've got a very long randomly embedded curve, that it's knotted with high probability. It's got a knot in it, and the longer it is, the more likely it's knotted. And as the length goes to infinity, the knot probability goes to one exponentially rapidly. And so this is actually useful in some scientific circles, because you can work with long molecules and do simulations of knotting and compare that to what you see in the test tube. And it turns out that when you look at viruses, they're viruses that infect bacteria whose genomes are DNA, and in order to study how the DNA is packed very tightly in the viral capsid, you can look at knots that are produced when the DNA is released from the capsid, and the knots are then diagnostic of the geometry of the packing, how it's wrapped around inside that very tightly packed ball.
When I think about knots in long pieces of string or even maybe my vacuum cord, there doesn't seem to be much structure in it, and I'm a bit puzzled as to how the geometry of the surrounding whatever will affect the long cord that's got itself in a tangle.
Yeah, well, if you were to say take your 100-foot extension cord and wind it up very carefully and then connect the ends up, then if you were to lay it all out, you would probably get a knot that's fairly simple or formed out of these spool, it'd be a spool-like knot. Whereas if you told your 15-year-old son to go throw the thing in the garage, that's randomly packing it. And then you would have put the ends together, then you get a very nasty-looking random knot. So it's possible to tell knots whether they were formed randomly or whether they were formed by some cellular process, for example.
So if this sort of thing happens in cells and the DNA gets itself in a twist, how does the organism cope?
Well, the organism copes by, there's an enzyme known as topoisomerase, which exists primarily for the purpose of fixing these entanglements, because the entanglements can be lethal to the cell. So these enzymes find the knots and kill them preferentially. It's not really understood how they act. They have to act locally, and a knotting is a global phenomenon. So the question is, how do they know where to pass the DNA through itself, which is what they do. But they do, and they do it very rapidly and very accurately. So they're very important for cells, because without them, the cell will die.
So I'm still a little bit puzzled, because you say that the knots have got to be killed. Do you mean disentangled?
Mm-hmm. Disentangled and turned into open circular form, so with no knots in them at all. Because there's an experiment that has a DNA plasmid, a short circular piece of DNA with a gene on it that codes for a resistance to ampicillin. And if you knot that plasmid and then hit the cell with ampicillin, it'll die, because the knot prevents the gene from being expressed.
And how do these proteins know where to guide the strand of DNA so to untangle it?
That's a real interesting question. A lot of people are working on it. It's not clear. So that's an open theoretical question and an experimental question. So people are designing experiments to try to figure this out as to how they know where to do the magic. and people do simulations. And there's some indications that it might look for regions of curvature where you've got a curved piece of the DNA wrapping around a straight piece. Maybe that's it. But the enzymes know how to do it and we don't. I mean, they're a lot smarter than we are. That's the long and the short of it. So they've had, you know, millions of years to evolve, so that's why they're really good at it.
So this is an entirely new way of looking at what's going on in a cell. How are biologists taking this?
Well, they think it's very interesting because they've come up with these problems, and as mathematicians, they're great problems. They aren't easy, and they're very interesting, and so it's a fertile ground for interaction between mathematicians and biologists. So biologists are very receptive to it.